Oh, man.
Hey, old man on the Mac crew. This is Tony Jones over here with another great episode of Old Man on the Mac. Guys, I'm so excited for today's interview. Man, as you know, with Old Man on the Mac, it's more than just martial arts. It's for anybody older out there. When I say older, like I coined a new phrase, is the more experienced, right? That sounds better than calling us old people. The more experienced people out there. It's for all walks of life. Somebody's out there that's still active, still out there getting things done, making a difference. You can be in fitness, you can be in, you know, CrossFit, you can be in all those things, martial arts, all those things. And one of the areas I'm really excited about is I'm very excited about guns. We all know that. I'm excited about guns. I love shooting. I love tactical training. And we have an opportunity to have a great guest here today. This guy, he's the owner of Misha Training. He has over 10 years. I was reading all his credentials here, and I'm blown away. He has over 10 years of firearm safety, NRA credentialed in multiple disciplines. The guy has done everything. He's what, advanced pistol and shotgun range instructor, Masad Ayub. Now, this is huge. Pistol instructor and deadly force instructor. The guy's done some of everything. We'll get him to talk more about some of these things as he come on. I can't even go through all his list, but guys, listen, we are blessed to have this guy. I want you guys to take some notes. I want you guys to listen up. If you are, and I encourage everybody, but if you are looking to get into gun training, gun safety and things, like I said, I encourage everyone, you might want to look this guy up. And with that, guys, I give you Alex Kogan. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, Tony, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Brother, I'm doing great. I've been looking forward to this interview for a little while now. Because like I said before, I love guns. I'm all into that kind of stuff. I probably still can't hit the side of a barn, but, you know, I still love it.
Well, because the barn didn't do anything to you. That's why you're missing it.
Right. Isn't that why I'm like, please, man, boys, don't hit back. Oh, man. You know, like I said, I was going through some of your credentials. You've been training quite a bit. I mean, you're heavily certified in a lot of things, right?
I'm trying. You're trying. The day's young.
The day's young, oh, Lord. Man, tell me this. What got you started in guns? What got you started being a gun instructor?
Well, I've been shooting for over 30 years. I started when I was teenager and been doing competition, got done competition shooting, and then, you know, just taking friends here and there, showing them this and that. And then a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you start doing it a little bit at a higher level and start doing it more professionally? And then, you know, we sat down, we talked, and I'm like, well, you know, I actually enjoy teaching. And if I actually start the company and I actually start doing it, I'm going to be able to reach more people that way.
Okay.
So that's how I started. And at that point, I realized that, you know, all that shooting that I did in competition, all that other training, it was just a beginning. It wasn't enough to actually be a coach, to actually teach other people the right way. So that's when I started finding out who do I want to train with? What do I want to train with? Because there is just so many different options, many different ways you can approach learning this topic. And I had to decide which way I wanted to go and pick a specific discipline and stay with that discipline, because I truly believe that if you're going to do something right, you have to be a specialist in it. And that's a reason I specialize in a niche and I stay in that niche. If, let's say, someone would like to find out, get more training in rifles, can I do it? Yes. do I really want to do it? No, because there are a lot of other people that do it so much better than I am. So I would direct those people to those instructors.
That's really, I like that. You found one that you love and you stuck with it. You weren't trying to shot, quote unquote, shotgun it to all the different niches. That's pretty cool. Now, did you start, you didn't start your training in this country, right?
No. The original training started in a country that no longer exists on the map. So to speak, it used to be the old enemy USSR.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha, yep. So wait, so yeah. Your training over there, was it was done with live targets. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, as long as they don't shoot back.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Man.
You know, all those stories about kids in high school and elementary school putting Kalashnikov apart and together in like a minute or two, those stories are true.
Are you serious? And
yes, and we had to do it blindfolded as well.
What? Oh my gosh. So what you're trying to say is that the training over there was a lot, how to say, stricter or harder than it is here?
I think it was both, and at least at the time, and I think one of the reasons was that there, if you screwed up, they weren't babying you. You were hearing what they wanted to tell you, and you were getting punished the way they wanted to punish you. There was no mommy or daddy to come and save you.
They didn't care about your feelings or your emotions.
No. Feelings? What is that?
Oh my gosh, that's intense, man. But you know, that made you good, right? That makes you guys some good shooters, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it taught the discipline, that's for sure.
Oh, you had to focus. You had to focus. I remember taking a course over here at I was at Alpha Range taking a course, and it was just a basic course, and the guy's yelling in my ear. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. You're being a meanie head, you know. You're hurting my feelings. Yeah, right. Oh man, but that's awesome that you train so much. And I love to take different courses and classes and stuff. Now, I'm going to throw something out now. We're going to bounce around a lot, but tell me, what's your favorite handgun? Because everybody's got a different gun. I got buddies who they love a Ruger. They love this or whatever. What's your favorite gun?
Can I disappoint you?
Yes, you can.
I don't have one.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Okay. All right.
You know, I have. So when people ask me, they actually get shocked when I tell them I don't have one. They're like, well, don't you like this? Well, but you carry this brand. I'm like, well, just because I carry this brand does not mean that this is my favorite. I do a gun. Is the tool for me. It's a piece of metal or plastic, and I try, you know, the emotional attachments are reserved to people.
Right.
I try not to make emotional attachments with objects, because objects do break, and objects, you know, today is here, tomorrow is there, and tomorrow there is going to be a new shinier object, and oh, look, squirrel.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Wow. Okay. That makes sense, though. It was a guy, I can't remember this guy's name, but I remember this old guy, been around forever. He says, you should be able to pick up any gun if you're trained enough. You should be able to pick up and utilize any gun and be accurate with it, just like you've used it forever. So I'm like,
that's exactly, yep, that's exactly what was told in one of the instructor level classes that they did down in Florida sometime back. We had close to 12, 16 students on the line, and almost everyone had a different type of firearm, handgun, and basically instructor said, lay it all out on the line, and you start from the right, and you move to the left, and you pick up a gun, and here's your target, and you need to make sure that it didn't matter what gun you picked, you were expected to perform with that.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man. No joke. That is pretty cool. Because, you know, when you get your conceal and carry and you go back to, you know, you got the little basic, you know, you got to renew it every year. You know, it's simple. And, you know, everyone brings their favorite and most comfortable gun they have, you know. And this last time I did it, I didn't have my favorite gun with me. I don't know why I didn't. I went in with a different gun and I did great with it. And I was like, well, okay, I must know what I'm doing. So I liked the way you think on that. That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. Now, when you train, when you're doing classes over at Misha Training, how do you get past some of the, you know, some of the misconceptions there are with people, brand new people, about guns and all that kind of stuff?
Well, the biggest, especially nowadays, the biggest misconception is gun skill.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, you start talking to people, you open, you turn the TV on, and everyone trying to tell you that guns is a problem.
Yeah. No.
And at the same time, they're forgetting that Cain killed Abel with the rock. Not the gun.
So the rock's the problem. The rock's the problem.
Right? I mean, if we follow that logic, then it means that spoons makes us fat, right?
Right? Right. I'm suing McDonald's next week.
That's why I use little spoon.
Oh, did that work? I need a little spoon.
I don't know. What I'm trying.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
But in reality is... When I get to talk to someone who has prior misconception and it's generally a negative one, right, it's pointless to tell them that what they feel is wrong, because you know everyone has feels about this and that, and I can't tell you that you feel wrong that because that's how you feel, right? So
right.
I try to put reasoning and I try to create positive examples. Like I explained to them that, you know, you take a 100-pound woman, she's powerless against a 250-pound deranged man, right?
Right.
But you put a handgun in her hand, well, now that equals the equation a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That's true. That's true.
There was a case in Oklahoma where a single mother was home with the kids, and some hardcore criminal was trying to break in. Well, it's good thing that she had a gun.
Right.
And
right.
She had a 911 operator on the line. 911 operator said, well, you got to do what you got to do once he breaks the door.
Because, right, exactly.
The mama bear needs to protect the cubs, right? And
right.
The only way for her to be able to stop that lunatic is by using a firearm. At the same time, you know, that is like a little bit more extreme, right? But at the same time, I tell them that, hey, look, I have kids, and I start my kids very young. They started shooting with me when they were 5. But I made it fun for them. I brought a little tiny 22 caliber handgun and they had a blast.
Okay.
You know, they enjoyed it. They had fun with it. Sometimes you need to bring people back and, you know, one of the best ways is bring back to the reality and show them that, hey, remember that case? And in the last few months, we've all been watching news, and one of the current examples that I tell people that, you know, that October 7th in Israel, the kibbutz, the small village where a lot of people in the village had personal firearms, be it a handgun or a rifle, that only one village mostly went untouched.
Really?
Mainly because most of the people in that village had guns readily available to them.
Wow.
And they used them, they organized, they were training together, and they organized and they set up a perimeter and they defended that village.
Wow, whereas that's awesome.
Whereas other villages that didn't have firearms available, because you know what another misconception, people think that in Israel everyone has firearms. Well, not really. Some of their laws are a lot stricter than what we have here.
Really?
So, you know, oh yeah. They have a limit on how on who can have a gun. They have a limit on how much ammo you can purchase. There are and the carry restrictions are a lot stricter than the carry restrictions here.
Oh my God.
And like here, once you got a concealed carry license, they don't tell you that, Tony, you can only bring carry this particular gun. They tell you you are allowed to carry a handgun, right?
Right.
They don't tell you the caliber or the type of a gun or the model of the gun.
Well, that's true.
There, you have to, whatever you qualify with, that's what you have to use. That's wow. the only gun that you can use.
Really? So if you qualify with, I don't know, Glock or whatever it is, that's it. You can't call it, you can't pull up anything else. 6 hours.
They actually put a serial number on it.
Wow. And that's the gun that you can qualify. That's the only one you can carry. Wow.
And that's the only gun that you can carry.
Wow. Holy cow. That is different. Because we always thought, we hear in the news, and I don't watch the news a lot, but when you hear it, they talk about Israel, how free they are. They have guns everywhere. Everyone's carrying a gun. And, you know, that's what we thought, you know.
Wait, Tony, are you telling me that that's just debacle and misconception?
What? I can't believe it. I am stunned. Oh, my gosh. I am shocked. I don't know what I'm going to do the rest of my day now. Oh, man. But you know what? Just in comparison to what we have here, and they are trying their best, you know, a lot of states. I won't say the whole country, but a lot of states, a lot of the blue states, and I'm not getting political here, but a lot of the blue states, they really want to get rid of private ownership of guns. And I think that's just insane. That's the most insanest thing out there.
Well, someone that came from the country where that was a thing, and someone that studies a history a little bit, I can tell you that there is a reason why politicians don't want you to have guns. And all you need to do is look at the history of Russia, look at the history of Germany in the 1930s. Look at the current situation in Venezuela. Venezuela used to be one of the most prosperous country in the South America, and where are they right now?
Right, exactly. But we need to know more about our history and our history out there, because I'm telling you, because they have, like you said, they have something planned to try to take all the guns. But that's my tinfoil hat I wear all the time, you know.
Yep.
Now, do you specifically train when you're doing your classes over at Misha Training? Do you specifically train new gun owners or more experienced gun owners?
Both, but I specialize in the new gun. So in the new people that are never been experienced, never been exposed to firearms, people that have very little experience to firearms, also people that been around guns all their life, right?
Right.
And sometimes I do get people that have had prior training. I had military guys. I had a couple cases where I had police officer take my classes.
Okay.
And I was able to help them. And then, again, I'm staying in my specialty because, you know, when those two situations where police, the cop or the military guy came to me, or and the girl, depending, right. There was both of them.
Right.
I had a conversation with them and I'm like, well, what are you looking for? Because I, you know, if it's a military guy, I'm not going to teach him how to breach the house. I'm not going to teach him how to attack a village because that's, I don't have expertise in that.
Right.
At the same time, I'm not going to teach a cop how to do, you know, the drug bust and stuff like that.
Right.
But if they need something that is more in the line of a civilians, let's say undercover, right? Undercover cops dress no different sometimes than you and me. They would wear sweats, they would wear regular jeans, the short, be it tucked in, be it not tucked in.
Right.
They need to know how to properly conceal that firearm, right? And not only how to conceal it, how to be able to retrieve it fast and
right.
accurately, right?
Right.
Well, that's not, as far as I know, and if someone someone more than welcome to correct me, but that's not a topic that they teach in the basic police academy on how to conceal firearms. Most of the cops, they don't conceal, right? They wear the gun on the side. Even detectives, when they are in a regular uniform, most of them, if you pay attention, they have a gun that's outside under the, you know, the jacket.
Yeah.
They're not trying to conceal it.
Yeah.
So, and a concealment is a completely different animal in itself.
Right. Right. Because I have two nephews, both officers in Chicago, and every time, you know, they don't conceal them. I don't see them very concealed. When I see them at family events and stuff, I see, you know, I see you got your gun.
Well, and,
you know.
Right. Yeah. And not only that, when they do try to conceal, you can see it from a mile away.
Right, right, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, is that like a colonoscopy scary bag on your side?
Right. And, you know, that's kind of funny, though, but it is real that they are not trained in concealing, as you and I probably been out there. That's all we've done for the most part. Well, on my end, that's all I've ever done was conceal it. So I, you know, you would never know I'm carrying, which that's the whole purpose, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
The guns are like private organ in religions, needs to be held privately, and you do not need to showcase them in public.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I tell you, because I don't want anybody to know I'm caring, other than my friends who know me, just they know I'm caring. But other than that, I don't want anybody to know it. And that's the whole purpose of it, I think, you know.
Absolutely.
Because I know some states, they have the open carry law, which is fine. But I don't want the bad guy to see me with my gun on my hip, because I, my mindset, that he's going to be shooting at me first, you know, eliminating that threat.
Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, right?
If you were a bad guy?
Yeah. If I was a bad guy, I would take out the threat. You're absolutely right. Oh, man. You know, you said a few minutes ago about, you know, about women being smaller and, you know, fighting that 200-pound guy. And I think you and I, we had an exchange. We were talking about it on Facebook, which is I love that, because, you know, I was training some women in self-defense, you know, all this other stuff, you know, open hand self-defense and all the stuff. And some of them were concealing carry ladies. I'm not an instructor by any means when it comes to guns, but my mindset, because they're smaller women, if a guy attacks you, go to your tool belt first. You know, that was my mindset. And you corrected me on that. I appreciate that. So what's your philosophy on that of women, you know, concealing carrying, women carrying out on the street, something happens to them. Should that be their last or first line of defense? What's your thoughts on that?
It depends.
Okay. Okay. That's true. Someone's yelling at them. They don't want to pull their weapon out. I mean, you know, so good point.
Well, I try not to do, in reality, at least for me.
Yes.
Right. I mean, a different instructor is going to tell you something different. The way I teach, I don't differentiate from this particular, on this particular topic, whether it's a female or a male.
Okay.
I think what I'm trying to instill in my students, because a lot of people, and especially men, and sometimes women too, they think that just because they have a gun, then gun is a solution to everything.
Right.
And I always, first thing first is I tell them that if you have a hammer, and only hammer, then every problem becomes a nail.
Right.
And you're trying to nail every problem.
Right.
So right. When I teach, regardless, kids, women, men, I tell them you need to have variety of tools available to you.
Okay.
You know, some of those two, one of those tools is the gun, obviously, right?
Right.
It is a tool. The right. other tool is your hands.
Right.
You need to be able to do stuff with your hands. And, you know, some people say, well, I'm a female, whatever, 100, or I'm a male and I'm old and I can't do. And it's like, which is cool.
Right.
You know, I understand. But do you sit at home on couch most of the day? Or can you find 45 minutes, like you were talking on the last episode, can you find 45 minutes every other day to go to the gym and lift 2 pound weight? Because that 2 pound weight will translate into you being able to defend yourself 3 months, 5 months from now.
Right.
Okay.
Good point.
Can you run away? People are like, what do you mean run away? I'm like, exactly.
Yeah.
Just because you can't shoot MF doesn't, you know what I mean, right?
Oh, oh, I do know. I do know. Trust me, I know.
Does that mean you should shoot him,
right?
Or her?
Right, right.
There is a difference between can and shoot.
Right.
So, right. So for me personally, if I can run away, I run away. Why? Because I avoided the problem, right? When you don't get into the fight, you know what happens?
You win. If you win, there's no fight. You go home, they go home. There's no news reports.
Exactly. You win a fight, right? I mean, if I want to get in the fight, I go to jiu-jitsu training, or I sign up for every tournament that I can sign up for, and I go, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Right?
Exactly. But exactly.
When I'm walking down the street, I don't want to get into a fight, because you never know who you're going to pick a fight with. And one of the things that I learned, particularly training jiu-jitsu, is there are some people that you look at them, they're like, eh, you can walk over them. And it's like 5 minutes later, it's like, Jesus Christ, right. You almost killed me.
It did kill me, right? That's right. Looks are very deceiving. So to avoid it all, you're right.
Right. Well, and another thing is I always carry a pepper spray. And
I want to talk about that. That's the OC training instructor, correct?
Correct.
Okay, we'll talk about that now. Yeah, the pepper spray. So you carry it also.
I do not leave my, let me put it this way. If I have a pants on, I have a pepper spray in my pocket.
Really? That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I don't care whether I'm at home all day, I still have pepper spray in my pocket. A couple months ago, I was in Florida, and one day we decided to go on the beach. Guess what I had in my pocket and my
pepper spray.
Trunks? I had a pepper spray in my pocket.
Wow, that's pretty good, man. All right.
Because here's the thing. I'm walking in the store, right? And I'm shopping. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but the Karen decided to shop at the same time. And she did not like the pants that I'm wearing.
Right.
And she's now in my face. And she's screaming and trying to punch me. How's it going to look if I push her and she falls down and hurts herself?
That's right.
If I punch her and she falls down and hurts herself, it's going to look really bad, right?
Yep, you're the bad guy now.
Punching a woman, right?
Yep.
Well, a little bit spice in her life would go a long way for her to decide that I'm not a dude that she should be telling what pants I'm wearing today.
A little spice in her life. I like that. Oh, my gosh. That's perfect. That is perfect. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I've never thought about that. I don't carry pepper spray. And the funny thing, I travel a lot, and you know, I can't carry a gun on the plane, all blah, 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 blah. And usually,
who told you that?
Well, I can't carry it. I know how to ship it to where I'm going. I know how to do all that to get it to the airport. But I mean, on my person as I'm going through the, you know, airport, I can't do that.
I fly with the gun all the time.
Well, you're
we can talk about it. It has nothing to do with instructor.
Oh, Tony, talk to me.
I'm gonna empower you today.
You
the
will
Almighty and all the power that are given to me from today forward, you're going to be able to carry the gun with you wherever you travel.
That's awesome. You know what? I love that, because my mindset with I'm on the plane, I don't carry it. So when I land, and it's everywhere I land, I go to like a quick little stupid store and I'll grab a knife that I could buy from a store and I keep it on me because I'm trained in knife and all that, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
I never knew that. Thank you for telling me that. We have to talk after this. Yes.
So every time I fly, I have a gun, a knife, at least one, and a pepper spray. Every single time.
Wow. 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 Wow.
And people are like,
that.
What are your what are you afraid of? And I tell them that, you know, that little joke about the state trooper, Arizona state trooper, he's like patrolling a stretch of a road that's in the middle of nowhere. He sees the car going a little bit faster than the speed limit. He pulls over, he sees a lady in it. And he goes, ma'am, can I see your driver's license and registration card? Little lady goes, sure, officer. Give me a second. It's in the glove box. She opens the glove box and he sees the revolver in it. He's like, whoa. You have a gun in the car? She goes, yes, officer, I have guns. He goes, guns? Officer, I'm afraid absolutely.
Well, I'm losing you on that end. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, perfect. I hear you now. Yeah, I sort of lost you. Sorry about that.
You lost the punchline, huh?
I missed the punchline.
So when he says, ma'am, what are you afraid of? When, you know, when she opened and she saw all the all guns, she's like, officer, I'm afraid of absolutely nothing.
I love it. That's right. She's back at grandma ain't afraid of nothing.
You buy insurance. You don't buy insurance hoping you're going to use it, right? It's like you don't call your State Farm or whatever American Family agent and says, hey, sign me up quick, because I need to go and hit that neighbor, right?
Right. That's good. But you know what? That's very intriguing. That, I mean, that, you know, I haven't really, I guess a lot of assumptions I had about, you know, carrying on the plane. So yeah, we have got to talk. I want to know that because like I said, I travel everywhere, a lot of places, and I always feel naked when I get off the plane. So I always go to have something on me. That's
pretty
good. It's a bad
feeling when you're in public and you're naked, right?
Yeah, right. That's all in San Francisco. But anyway, we won't go there. Oh my gosh, that's really good. Now, when you're training these people, now let's talk about the pepper spray. Now, do you, when you're training the tactical guns and everything, do you automatically add in the pepper spray? You talk to them about pepper spray, or that's a separate class on its own, so they can be very proficient in how to pull it out, how to utilize it, and all that.
Generally speaking, it's a separate class on its own.
Okay.
However, depending on the class that I'm doing, I will introduce the pepper spray. There is going to be a portion where you, instead of a gun, you're going to need to use a pepper spray. And I picked that up from, you know, one of the things that I learned in the industry is you need to give credit where credit is due.
Right.
Trying to get better at it is the person that introduced that. And actually, I observed him teaching that way is John Murphy from FEF Training out of Virginia.
Okay.
So depending on the class, I will introduce pepper spray on the middle of the class and people would actually have to go and use the pepper spray. Generally speaking, pepper spray is a standalone class.
Okay.
I will mention it, like every class that I do at the end of the class, you know, we talk about different things and I will mention that, hey, by the way, pepper spray is something that you probably need to have.
Yeah.
And pepper spray is something that I talk to people in all different places. Like, have you ever caught yourself telling people about jiu-jitsu? When you were at the, I don't know, waiting in line at the to buy a Stanley Cup. No, never mind. Now you wouldn't be standing in line for Stanley Cup, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, right. Right.
You talk to your friends about jiu-jitsu, the friends that don't do jiu-jitsu, right? And they're like, please, Tony, I'm tired of hearing you talk to me about it. But I not only talk about jiu-jitsu, I also talk about pepper spray. I don't necessarily talk about guns because, you know, I'm generally not the one that will start, hey, how you doing? My name is Alex. You want to talk about guns? No. Unless they ask me, I don't say it. But I will bring up pepper spray if the conversation gets around, you know, different topics.
Right.
Because pepper spray has a different emotional attachment. People have different emotional attachment towards the pepper spray versus towards the knife or the gun.
Right. That's true. Yes. Yes.
Right. They don't look at it as anything special. They don't look at it as, oh, my God, my good, you can kill someone with it. I mean, you could,
right,
theoretically.
Right.
But they look at it differently.
Good point.
I hope I answered your question.
No, you did. You did. That's really good. Now, is there, because I know there's different kind of pepper sprays, or the kind you can buy at the counter, which a friend of mine who's a tactical trainer, he talks about that kind of pepper spray is like putting pepper on your eggs. He'll spray that on his eggs if he wanted it, you know. So what's a good type of pepper spray that I should be getting, or that anybody should be getting?
Well, pepper spray industry is only regulated if it has to do with bear spray.
Okay.
You know, against bears. So if you go into Colorado or Montana or whatever, you can find a special bear spray, right?
Right.
That is the only spray that is regulated and controlled to make sure that it's built properly, designed properly, meets certain standards, because God forbid we hurt the bear, right?
Right, exactly. However, right.
The pepper spray that is designed for human consumption.
Consumption, yeah. The spice in your life.
Right? It's not regulated by any means of imagination. There are literally companies that are run out of their basement that make pepper spray.
What?
And yeah, seriously, yeah.
Wow.
Do you like pepper?
I use pepper.
Okay, so let's talk about cayenne pepper, right? Cayenne pepper, you go and you buy cayenne pepper, and like you buy one today, and then you go, let's say, in the store 3 months or 4 months from now because you ran out of your supplies, and you go buy another cayenne pepper, it's going to taste a little bit differently. It might be a little bit spicier or less spicier, correct?
Right.
Right. Do you know what controls that?
What's that?
Sun and moisture.
Mm.
Sun and moisture controls how spicy is spicy and how not spicy. You know, if you introduce more moisture, it's going to be less spicy. If you introduce less moisture, it's going to be more spicier. So there are only like, there are a handful of companies that actually have a quality control to make sure that one canister is going to be the same as another canister and another canister and another canister.
Right.
So the companies that I suggest are Saber.
Yes, Saber.
S-A-B-R-E.
Yep.
Saber Red.
I know those guys.
Or POM, POM spray. So the POM spray actually is a spray that I suggest more. That's the canister that I have. That's the canister that I recommend. That's the canister that I give to my friends, my daughters of my friends to carry to high school or whatever, college, when they go. I have friends that had kids, particularly girls, go to college, and they're like, Alex, hook me up. So I give them. So I have that. I always try to have at least few of them available to give out.
Okay. Bomb spray.
And they're not expensive. So first of all, they're not expensive.
Okay.
Second of all, when I show you a pump spray, the canister, it looks no different than a full-size female lipstick.
Really? Okay.
Canister. Yeah. So,
and that's what you keep on you.
Yeah, I always have it on me. Like, seriously, if I have the pants on, I have the pepper spray with me.
Gotcha.
Okay. If you ever catch me without pepper spray, I'll give you $10.
Or you don't have your pants on. One of the two.
Well, I mean, Tony, if you catch me without pants on, wait, that's next podcast.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's the night podcast. Oh my God. But that's pretty good, because I'm gonna get some of that pump spray and start carrying it. Now, is there, when you're utilizing that or training in that, is there a special way to use the pump, the pepper spray, or is it just aim away from your own face and spray?
Well, one of the first, I need to mention this especially to a female students, that because the reason for that is because female students, unlike male students, they don't learn at the young age that you are not supposed to pee against the wind.
Ah, gotcha. They don't learn. You're right. You're so right.
What?
Well, you pee once against the wind, you learn.
Exactly. So,
oh my God,
pepper spray, you kind of need to be aware of which direction the wind is blowing. Okay, so you kind of need to be aware of that. If you deploy pepper spray, you are most likely going to get some of that residual as well, because I mean, wind changes, right?
Right. And it is close range fighting, I guess, you know, so he's close range to you.
Generally speaking, pepper spray is, we're talking about 10 feet distance.
Right.
Well, 10 feet distance is not that far. Right?
Exactly. That's nowhere.
So there is a, and not only that, people don't understand that just because you sprayed someone with pepper spray does not mean that they're going to stop doing whatever they're doing.
Right.
Because if someone is really, really, really out to get you, they will get you.
Oh, without a doubt.
When I got certified for a pepper spray instructor, one of the things was that I needed to, so they sprayed my face, right?
Yeah, and they sprayed you, yeah.
I needed to lick my lips and, you know, taste good.
They get it all in.
Right? And then I had to run. I had to engage two dudes fighting. And then after that, I had to run a little bit more and engage another guy.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
So it's possible. Now, it affects different people differently. And, you know, you spray someone, they're like, yeah, I don't want any more, right?
Right.
But you spray someone else, and they're like, yeah, not spicy enough.
Come at you. Oh, my God.
Can I have another, right?
Right?
Yeah. So it's plus there is a different, there is a foam. There is foam. It create the foam like foam. There is a fogger.
Yes.
Fogger, it's like a cloud, right? It's like a mist.
Right.
There is a gel. There is a stream. They all have different type of applications.
Okay.
They all have their own specialty. And depending on the situation, I would say, well, you need this or you need that.
Like, okay.
Personally, for every day, I suggest having a stream.
The stream?
Okay. The stream versus the others. As far as application, I'm not a priest. I'm not even a Christian, right?
Right.
However, I tell people, pretend for just one split second that you're a priest and bless their soul up and down across the airways and horizontal across their eye line.
Got it. Got it. So you're literally covering that guy, or whoever it is.
Well,
you're covering
your
that
soul,
Karen.
You know.
Oh, my gosh. But you know what? I never knew that. I thought you just spray it at him and run, you know. No.
Well, I mean, hey, if you can run real fast, it's always an option, right?
Right, right. So it's not an option for me because I can't run real fast. I just lean aggressively.
Neither am I, dude. Neither am I. I used to run real, real fast, but that's been
those
eons
days are
ago.
Gone. I fear you, brother. We're in the old man on the mat crew, brother.
Yeah, if you see me running, run, right?
Right. That's right. If I'm running, you better run too because something's really coming. Oh, man. Now, see, you do so many things. It was really cool because, of course, you do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu over at Lake County Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's how we met.
Yep.
Are you certified in knives at all? Do you use knife or blades or anything?
Define certified. Am I certifiable? Yes.
Yes.
Am I certified? No.
No. Well, you know how to cut your meat, right? So there you go. You're certified.
Exactly. Exactly. I always have a knife in my pocket. And when people say, well, why do you have a knife in my pocket? I'm like, well, because I like to cut my apples.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's something to say. You didn't say if your knife had blood on it or not when you're cutting your apples, but that's okay.
Right. So I had a conversation with a friend who's a cop, and he said that, you know, yes, there are regulations on the length of a knife, on the kind of knife you carry, and this and that. At the end of the day, it's really going to boil down to what was your intention.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So, you know, the right lawyer can indict a ham sandwich.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. So exactly.
Do I carry a knife? Yes, I carry a knife. Am I trained to use a knife? No. Am I likely to go for the knife. It really, 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 really going to depend on the situation.
Okay.
Most likely, no.
Gotcha.
It's going to be more of a last resort.
Right. And you have it there anyway, just in case, you never know. Well, I like the way you think, exactly. though. You have your firearm, you have your knife, you have your pepper spray. You are ready. You are ready. Yeah. But I like that. You have to be prepared, though, right?
Right. Well, and also you and I, we train Brazilian jiu-jitsu, right?
Right.
But I think you even better than me.
No.
We use, yes. We use the word jiu-jitsu, because sometimes you can talk yourself out of the problem.
That's
you can
true.
Always talk yourself into the problem,
right.
But you can sometimes talk yourself out of the problem, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's true. That is true. And that's word jiu-jitsu. That's right. I remember this was years ago. I've never been into a bar scuffle in a long years ago. But, I'm the guy that's always offering to buy the other guy a drink so we don't have to do anything. You know, it's like, hey, let me buy you a drink, man. Let's calm this down, you know. And that usually works. You know, I'm a talker.
Yep.
You know, I'm a talker, not a fighter.
Yep. A friend of mine, Jack, he's like 6'10", like big, big, big guy out of Georgia. He says that, and a lot of our friends picked it up, you have a my bet 20. Basically, you have a 20 bucks in the pocket, just a 20 bucks in one pocket, and it's, hey, my bet. Here's a, let me buy you a drink. Here's a 20.
See, there you go. But most guys, a lot of alpha, and I wouldn't say alpha guys. He sounds like an alpha guy. But most guys who I consider beta, they want to fight all the time. So, you know, that's got to diffuse the situation at 20 bucks. I would hope, I got to start carrying 20 bucks on me.
Well, and, you know, talk about the alpha beta guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we look at the last, 2-3 years, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were two world champion Brazilian jiu-jitsu dudes that were shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Because they wanted to impose themselves.
Yeah.
Well, the problem was they imposed themselves on someone that had a firearm.
Exactly.
So it, you know, that's the mentality. Going back to one of your earlier points, teach women to always go for the gun or not always go for the gun. It really depends. And sometimes going for the gun can invite more problems.
That's true.
Than not going for the gun.
That's true.
So that's where having options is beneficial, you know, and those options, sometimes it's just, hey, dude, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I did not see you and I bumped you.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's my fault.
Right.
When I go home, I don't even know who that guy is.
You could care less. You couldn't care less about the guy. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not, it's not like it's going to go on my resume forever and ever. Right.
Right. You walked away from this fight in the bar. You're demoted. You know, I agree with that 100%, man, because you're out there and you want to have a good time and a lot of meatheads out there. And the best thing to do is diffuse the situation, walk away. I'm sorry. Let me buy you a drink. I will walk away. And that's perfect. I love that. I love
that. What is your end goal?
Right.
What are you? I'm sorry. I'm losing the word. It happens. Don't get
that's
old,
okay. Cole. You're old. Old. You're part of old men on the mat crew, man. We get to that age where we're senile, brother. I'm with you.
You know, what's your
end game? What's your purpose?
What's your end game?
Yeah.
And my end game is different than your end game. My end game, I have a wife. I have two kids, I have a dog, I have a cat that I need to get home to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So everything drives from there.
Yes,
and
sir.
If I can get there, if I get there and I'm injured, it doesn't help them.
Not at all. Not
right?
at all.
If I get involved into something and I end up going to jail, that doesn't help them, right?
Exactly.
So if I say, hey, dude, I'm sorry, and I go home, did I help them? Hell yeah.
Yeah, because you walk away from a situation that has no outcome that's going to be good. Good, you know, whatever the side you're on that fence is not going to be a good outcome. It's just walk away and go home. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, but I find that most guys in our age bracket, I'm sorry, our experience level.
Exactly.
We
right?
think like that, you know. I'm just out to have a drink, hang with some friends. I want to go home. Leave me alone, you know. I'm sorry, right. I'm going home. And that's completely okay. But you know, that's pretty cool that you teach all those different, or you utilize all those different things. You're using words, using your hands if you have to with Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You use a knife. You use pepper spray.
Pepper spray.
That's yeah. one thing I have to really get into. Now, I'm going to ask you about a gun. This is one of those discussions that I hear in the gun community, you know. And I want to ask you, so before I go into that, you know, before I do that, answer this for me. Tell me, I saw on some things we were talking about before. Tell me the difference between tactical cool versus real life. I love that phrase, tactical.
Tactical is when you have dudes. You ever seen the picture of Mule Team 6?
Yes.
Okay, that's a tactical. That's the guy that just walked away from the Nintendo station and still has donut powder on his lips, but he has all the latest and greatest in gear and all the latest and greatest in firearm industry strapped to his leg, to his chest. You know, he has the latest, the greatest in ARs. He has the latest night vision, the latest Blaster 2000 that shoots by itself and hits the target a mile away.
Yo, I'm laughing because I know a couple guys like that, and I hope they're listening to this too. They have everything.
Versus the dude that trades for the real life. It's a dude like you and me. You know, like, here's the thing. If you're showing up for the class and the description of the class is we're going to run, we're going to jump, we're going to shoot behind barriers, we're going to shoot around cars, that's probably a class where you dress up as a Mule Team 6.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're showing up for the class that is geared for the concealed carrier, that is drilled, geared towards the regular Joe mode that works in the office or whatever at the factory, you show up. I tell people, show up as yourself every day.
Right, right.
I like last May, I was taking a class in Utah. It was a regular class designed for the regular Joe, right?
Right.
Well, I showed up in the class in the sweatpants, in the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And people are like, you have a gun on you? I'm like, hello.
yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Right?
Oh, now, man.
For the last few years, I've been helping out Ron and make sure that everyone is safe at the tactical conference in Texas.
Yeah.
Dallas. So I'm going there again. Well, when it's warm on the middle of the day in Dallas, it gets into the 80s.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon for me to walk in literally those sports shorts that you wear when you go work out and the t-shirt. And hello, I still have my gun on me.
Yeah, right.
And exactly. I still have my pepper spray on me.
Yes.
So depending what your end goal is, depending what you're training for, that's how you're going to show up. And the reason for that is, you know, I understand that it's cool to dress up and run and jump and shoot on the fly and all that cool stuff. But is that what you're going to do in your real life?
No.
So if you cannot implement that in the real life, then I call it an entertainment money.
Yeah, well, you know what it is. It is. It really is.
Right. And we all need entertainment, right? We all decide where we spend our money for entertainment.
Right.
But if you are carrying a firearm on yourself just in case to protect yourself or your family, then train in such a way like in your regular life.
Right.
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 So people would go and they're like, and they sometimes I see it in a class that is geared towards concealed carry.
Yeah.
And a guy would show up or a girl would show up with the biggest blaster that they can attach to themselves, and it's not concealed. Right. Or it's sitting on the side like colonoscopy bag.
Right. Oh, man.
You know, it's like, is that how you walk? Do you have a colonoscopy bag on the, in your daily life, right?
Oh, my gosh, right. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's perfect.
No, I have this little tiny, you know, blaster. Well, then let's train with that blaster. Then let's train with the way that you actually going to carry, because you're not going to have this that big, scary gun with you when you're out at Mariano's shopping for the meal to drink, dunk your Oreos. Right?
Oh, man, that is so funny because I see guys like that. And nothing's wrong. You have all that gear. Like you said, good luck to you. That's awesome. You can get all that stuff. But I've been to the range with, and I'm not going to say their names, but there are a couple of Leos, and I go in my gym shoes and sweats, do the same thing. And they're like, you're going to get your stuff on? I'm like, what stuff? I'm ready. What are we shooting at? You know?
Exactly. Let's go.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I'm ready. Let's shoot, man. You have to dress the way you're going to live your life. And that's awesome. But what I was going to get into, what I was going to ask you here, I know we're timer going on here, but I want to ask you, now, I hear this in the gun industry. I hear about different carries. You know, some guys are appendix carry. Some guys are, you know, 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, tie, all that. What would you, just in your experience, where is the best place to carry? The position, I should
internet?
Say.
Are you trying to break internet?
I am. Because I've had these discussions all over the place, man. These guys, no, you got to carry here. You got to carry. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Well, you know, the default answer, the first and foremost, carry your fucking gun.
Exactly. If you're not carrying it, why do you get the license to carry it? What are you doing?
Because believe me or not, a lot of those dudes and dudettes that are on the internet discussing the location of the carry, they don't carry.
They don't carry.
Or they carry, or what people sometimes tell me, well, I'm only going to bring my gun if I'm going to go there. And it's like, whoa, dude, my man, hello. If you know it's so freaking dangerous that you need the gun, then why the hell are you going there?
Why are you going there in the first place? Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I know that the alligator can bite my arm off. I'm not going to stick my arm in the alligator mouth. Like, exactly. I don't care how much money you pay me. So
that is so true. That is right. Oh, my gosh.
To your question, to address your question, it's really... there is no right or wrong per se.
Right.
There are some positions more advantageous than others. And it also depends on the body type.
Mm-hmm.
It also depends if you're tall, if you're short. It also varies if you're a man or you're a woman. And the reason for that is because the man waistline is at a different location than a woman waistline.
True.
Right?
That's true, yeah.
So that also dictates where one would carry the gun. Have you had a surgery at certain location?
Right. Well,
you might have carried the gun in one spot, but then for whatever reason you had a medical procedure and now you have a scar there. Well, you might not be carrying the gun in the same place, right?
So right.
Personally, I prefer appendix carry. And there are many reasons why I prefer appendix carry. Appendix carry, I can get to my gun whether I am pushed against the wall. I can get to my gun if I am on my back on the mat.
Yes, yes.
I can get to my gun if I am sitting in the car. I can get to my gun if I am on the motorcycle.
Now, you're right.
If I'm going in public, most people, unless I go into certain parts of town, don't look at my junk area.
Right. They might. Right?
Well, they might, but most people don't, right?
It's right. Like
when you and I meet, we look each other in the eye, right?
Exactly.
You don't let your eyes drop down below,
my
eyes, right?
Wander down. Good point.
Right. So, as a matter of, here's a true story. I had a class about 8 years ago. In my class, I had a guy that is about 6'10", about 250. He was would consider to be a Green Beret in Russian Army.
Okay.
And then he was in Marines here in U.S.
Wow.
He has a black belt in Sambo. He also has a black belt in Judo.
Okay.
So he's not a small guy.
Right.
Not a weak guy, right? So he didn't believe that I can get to my gun if my gun is an appendix.
Okay.
So I had him come behind me and give me a bear hug. And as you can imagine,
yeah,
when he gave me the bear hug, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Well, even so, he had me in the bear hug, and because he was taller than I am, he literally lifted me off the ground. I was still able to get my gun out of the holster.
And you still, that's actually helped you too, picking you up.
Right? So, have my gun been in any other position? Nah, no yeah. way, no how.
You're right. You're done. You're done.
Because if someone takes you in a bear hug, your arms are kind of fixed into one spot.
That's true.
And the only part of your arm that you can move, your hand that you can move, is whatever below the elbow.
You're right.
Well, hello, that's where my gun is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's smart. I love it.
Right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
I took a class about 7 years ago in New Orleans.
Okay.
And it was a force on force class.
Oh, I like that.
It's a situational class, right?
Right.
So you are put into a situation. You're given a blue gun. Blue gun is the gun that looks like a real gun but shoots like a paint
yeah,
bullets.
Yeah, it's a right? fake so gun. Yep.
Right, so they can't kill you, right?
Right.
They can sting you, but they theoretically can't shoot and
right.
kill you.
So, right.
I had it in the same position, like appendix, like I always have. Well, in that situation, I had no idea who's the bad guy, who's the good guy, and it was in the convenience store, right?
Right.
So, because I had no idea where it's going to be coming from, it happened that it came from behind me, and the guy pointed the gun. He pretended to be a bad guy, and he said,
yeah.
on the ground. Well, I went on the ground, belly down.
Right.
So, you know what I was able to do still, without him seeing it?
Still
I was
reach
able
your
to
weapon.
Get my gun out of the holster and engage it
wow.
without him noticing it.
Right. Wow.
Because even so, I was laying on top of it. You don't really need that much room to shove your hand there and pull the gun out of the holster.
True. Yep.
You know, and the people, the internet will tell you that you're going to shoot your nuts off.
No.
And they debunk, you know, and my take on it, it doesn't really matter where you shoot yourself, because I do know people who shot themselves in the ass because they carried the gun behind
in the
them.
Back. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So the point is, if you don't touch the trigger when you're not supposed to touch the trigger, you're not going to shoot your nuts off.
Period. Right? Exactly. Period. And you're not blindly shoving it back in the holster and catch a snag on your pants or anything. Yeah, you're not doing that. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that makes sense. I carry appendix also for those same reasons, because you assume I'm going to be on my back at some time if someone tackles me or whatever it is, you know. I always wanted to have my hands where I could reach my weapons. So I'm glad you – see, since you – has confirmed it. It's going to be the answer on the internet forever. Appendix carry is where it's at. It's where it's at. Because I do have friends who are bigger guys, meaning belly wise, and you know they carry on the side because they can't get their hands under the belly fold. And I'm like, all right, that's up to you.
Oh
man.
My goodness. Okay. since we are not only friends in real life, but we are also friends on the crazy book.
Yeah.
One of my friends on the crazy book, his name is Spencer Kippers. He is also a owner and designer of the holsters. He makes a really cool holsters
okay.
called Kippers Holsters. So when you go and you Google Spencer Kippers, he is big dude.
Okay.
He's the belly.
Wow.
You know where he's carrying? appendix.
Really? Because he had, does he have the wraparound band? Is that what it is? Or
no, wraparound band is for Special Olympics. Okay. You know, when you need to wrap around yourself.
Okay. Oh my god.
No, he has a normal Kydex properly designed holster for specifically for the appendix carry.
Okay.
And he teaches the proper presentation from the holster. And like I said, he's the big, big dude. He's like, I don't know. The last time I saw him, I know he's trying to lose some weight, and I think he lost some weight. But I think the last time I saw him, he was pushing 250 maybe.
Wow.
And Spencer, please, if I said something wrong, don't shoot me.
Right. Oh, yeah, he's going to listen to this. He's coming for you.
Right. Well, he most likely is going to see me in a couple months in Texas. So, yeah, Spencer, please don't shoot me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Clint. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I take everything back, right?
Right? I take everything back.
Yeah, but he is not a guy that would sign up for the ballet lesson.
Okay. Oh, my
he's
God.
He's more of a linebacker type of guy.
Wow. Wow.
He's not your what's that position? The guy, that little tiny guy that runs with the ball and catches the ball into an end zone.
The receiver? The wide receiver?
Yeah, he's not the receiver.
No, he's the guy on the line, the center. He's on the line.
Exactly.
Oh man. That makes sense though, brother. Well, let me ask you here. I just had it here. Now, before, because I know we're running on time here, and I know you took a lot of time to talk to me, and I appreciate it, man. This has been one of the funnest ones out there, so I appreciate you big time.
My pleasure.
Now, how often do you consider, let's say, a new person coming in? Oh, no, let's not even go a new person. Let's say an experienced person is, you know, gun enthusiast, guys out there shooting, blah, blah, blah. He knows his way around a pistol and all that kind of stuff. How often do you think he should be doing two things? One, live drills, live fire drills. And when should he do, how often should he do dry fire drills? It's weekly or whatever it is, you know, to keep them sharp.
Tony, guess what I'm doing right now?
Are you doing dry fire drills right now? That's awesome.
So I'm sitting in the kitchen, right? The oven is about 5 yards away from me.
Yeah.
No, more like 4 yards away from me. So I picked the button, one of the circles, and I'm taking the gun out of the holster and I'm presenting it and I'm lining up the dot on that circle.
That's while we are talking. Cool. I love it, man. That's what I'm talking about, man. That is so funny. Because guys would come to my house and on my door, on the inside of my door, I have a laminated, very small, probably about, you know, 8 inches size target on my door. And I'll just walk through the house, do dry fire drills. They think I'm the weirdest guy, but the way you're doing it, that's really weird, but I love it.
Well, here's the thing. Was the way I do it? You walk into my house, and unless you go into my office, you really can't tell that it's a gun. There is a gun in the house, right? Because
okay.
I don't have the targets. I don't have stuff like this. Because I pick things like this. I pick a light switch.
Okay.
Right? I pick there is a shadow. I pick the point on the shadow. Like in my basement, it's an old-style basement with the wooden boards. There are imperfections on those wooden boards. So I pick that. So to answer your question, I try to train dry fire daily. And again, you don't need a lot of time. You only need, I tell people, do not spend more than 5 minutes. And the reason do not spend more than 5 minutes at a time is because once your mind starts wandering, oh, look, squirrel, you're no longer concentrated on what the heck you're doing. You're no
very
longer
good
concentrated
point. Very
if you're
good
doing
point.
It right or
right.
You're doing it wrong, right? As far as shooting, I generally try, if I'm just going by myself, if it's just for me, I try to go at least every month, right?
Okay.
There have been months when there has been time not long ago where I wasn't at the range for 3-4 months. But you know what? As long as you do your dry fire and as long as you're doing it right,
right,
you are not really losing your life skills.
Okay.
Because what's really important for the regular Joe who conceal carries? The important part is your mental.
Right.
Are you ready? Are you paying attention? Can you mentally deal with the problem, or are you just going to shit your pants and stay there and like, ooh,
right, right,
why is it happening to me, right?
Right.
Can you present the gun out of the holster fast enough to deal with the problem? Well, I'm sorry. You don't need to go to the range to practice that, right?
That's true.
Unload your gun and get your gun out of the holster.
That's true.
And see and practice that. And the more you practice, the less problems you're going to have, meaning that, you know, you're going to catch a short, you're going to catch this, you're going to catch that, and it's going to fail.
Right.
Fall your draw stroke, right? But if you do enough time, you're going to perfect it and you're going to be able to draw. And drawing, whether it's an empty gun, whether it's a loaded gun, it doesn't matter, right?
Right, right. That's true.
Presenting the gun on target, and regardless if you're using the iron sights or you're using the red dot, it doesn't matter whether the gun is loaded or not. You still need to acquire the front sight. You still need to acquire the red dot. And I would go into more deeper, not every time you're going to put a front sight on a bad guy chest, you're going to need to shoot.
Good point.
There are going to be times when you're going to point the gun at the bad dude chest and he's going to go like, oh shit, I have a dental appointment somewhere else. He's right. Going to turn around and leave.
Right, right, right. Oh. Okay. I like that answer. I do.
Right? So, yeah.
So just as much as you can, you want to do it daily. And I like that because but I spend more than 5 minutes. And I like the way you're saying the 5 minutes because you're absolutely right. More than that, I do wander. You know what I mean? My mind wanders a little bit. I get off what I'm doing, but I always have to bring myself back to what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm going to adapt to 5 minutes because I like that. You know, if you do what you're going to do in 5 minutes, you don't need all day. Boy.
Exactly. Exactly. You do it less, but you do it right.
Right. Focused, focused, focused. Brother.
Right.
This has been awesome, Alex. I tell you, I have more questions I want to ask you, but I'm going to ask you another one. Hopefully I can finagle you to come back in for another one. And give me some more pointers on all this stuff. Cause I do want to talk to you offline here about the, carrying my gun on the planes. Cause I need to know that.
Well, I got a bottle of bourbon that we can dunk our Oreos in.
I'm done. I'm in there, brother. I'm there, man. But, man, I appreciate you so much, man. Thank you so much for coming in with this.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, pleasure. That's been Alex over here. Alex, he owns Misha Training. He's over at Lake County Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. As you just heard, the guy knows so many things. And like I always say, guys, I appreciate everything you guys are doing for this channel, Old Man on the Mat. Appreciate the sales and everything with the shirts. And once again, if you get a shirt from me, make sure you send me a picture so I can make you Instagram famous, right? So put your faith all over things. And guys, with that, Alex, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you more than you know. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you, Tony. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, man.